Hello, everybody. My name is Christian Stefford, and I am here with Tate Christopher, who is the owner of Physician Financial and Insurance Services, which is a leading insurance and financial advisor for the medical community since 1993. Thanks for being with us today, Tate.
Thank you.
Tate is a financial advisor and has been recently accepted as a member in 2009 of the Million Dollar Round Table, which is an elite organization that is includes the world's most successful life insurance and financial services and professionals from over 476 companies in 76 nations. Wow, and territories. Members are accepted based on their demonstration of exceptional professional knowledge, strict ethical conduct, and outstanding client service. Membership is also recognized internationally as the standard of sales excellence in the life insurance and financial service businesses. So today, we're going to be talking about financial strategies for the busy physician, and 10 minutes with Tate is what we're going to call these sessions. Our conversation today details financial strategies for the busy physicians from medical school to private practice, and let's start from the beginning. What should medical school students begin to think about in the world of finances, Tate?
Well, many medical students must take out student loans to fund their education. They may have even taken out loans from college as well. So they're accruing a tremendous amount of debt at a time when they're making no income.
I don't know many professions that can afford to do that, do you?
No, none that I'm aware of. And this is why, as a medical student, you need to start planning your financial future now and have realistic expectations of the type of life you want to live, the medical specialty you want to pursue, area of country you want to work and live, and even the income potential within that specialty. By no means is there any guarantee that physicians in the future will earn enough income to pay down their student loan debt, buy that big home, put money in retirement plans, pay for insurances, put kids through school, and live a nice lifestyle.
You know, I, not to interrupt you, but I always thought that physicians made a very good income and lived, you know, quite well. Is that changing, or has it always been that way, or
The economies around the world are changing, Christian, and it affects every business sector and career, including medicine. Look, I've got the most respect for any person pursuing a career in medicine. I think it's one of the most honorable professions. To pursue a career helping mankind, sacrificing years of their lives personally and professionally to achieve a goal is amazing. Now, the practical matter is physicians do make a good income once they're done with medical training, but they're in their 30s, and they go from the lowest tax bracket to the highest tax bracket in 1 year. Hardly fair. And on top of that, they need to start paying back their student loans if they have not already.
Huh. You know, that I had no idea. That's actually kind of amazing to me, because I always had the picture of, you know, physicians driving down the road in their Mercedes or their G5, you know, with a nice home, going on big vacations down to, you know, the Caribbean or wherever your warm destination is. So, you know, not a worry in the world is how I always pictured them.
Yeah, well, you know, many physicians can still live that comfortable life, but it takes a lot of sacrifice. And those that end up living well usually were the ones that started financially planning their future in medical school and residency.
Okay, so getting back to the medical student, before they go on to medical residency, what do you suggest they do and when?
Well, Christian, I usually start working with medical students around April, May of their last year of medical school. At that point, they've matched to their medical residency program, so they know where they're going to live, hospital they're going to be working at, such as a VA or a private or university-based hospital. Together, we review their student loan debt, their credit card debt, savings, health, disability, life insurance plans, as well as any retirement plans or assets that they may have already accumulated.
So why is where they work and live important in these decisions?
Well, it's very important because it's where we get started planning. Having worked nationwide since 1993, I'm very familiar with many hospital retirement insurance and benefit plans, as well as the income for a first-year intern. The cost of living factors into our planning because some residents have more disposable income than others. It's based on where they live and how much they're paid. If we start a conversation right before a medical student starts training, you know, I can advise them what to expect and look for when completing benefit forms, etc. In fact, when they start their new job, many of them will email me their retirement plan options and insurance plans so I can get a complete picture and advise them.
Okay, so question then. They don't have any income yet, right? So how can they afford to pay for your professional services and advice?
Great question. This is a win-win scenario for all parties. The physician pays no fees to me, and I offer a complimentary review of their entire financial insurance and loan portfolio. I know it sounds too good to be true. The fact of the matter is, within the financial services industry, the insurance and investment companies, i.e. mutual funds, compensate us brokers for bringing them business. Financial and insurance companies set their own premium rates, the cost of purchasing mutual funds, annuities, etc. So as I said, it generates a win-win scenario for everybody involved. And for myself, as an independent broker, part of my job is to research what are the most comprehensive life, disability, health insurance plans, and review the performance of all the mutual fund investments. Ultimately, I'm recommending these to my clients, which best meets their needs to their unique individual situation.
So it sounds like you would be waiting a long time to earn income from your services if a medical student or resident began working with you right away?
Obviously. The income I earn from working with a medical student or a resident is very limited. My philosophy has always been being a great resource for my clients, and in the long term it will work out well for everyone. I figure if I do an excellent job for a young physician making very little income, then when they do make more money in private practice or as an attending, they'll invest more money in retirement plans, purchase higher amounts of life, disability, health insurance through me. The bottom line, Christian, is I am in the long-term relationship business to help physicians and their family, or families with their finances throughout their lives.
Okay, so we're here today on our audio podcast, 10 Minutes with Tate, as an innovative leader in his field. Tate Christopher has created several physician websites to educate them on details of life insurance, disability insurance, and health insurance plans. He has a life and disability insurance blog, as well as maintaining a physician social networking group on Facebook. The easiest way to access Tate is at his main webpage, tatemoney.com. That's TATEMONEY.com. Okay, so let's say I miss speaking with you in medical school and I'm in residency or fellowship now. What do I look to do?
Well, Christian, there are three very important components in building your financial portfolio at this stage in your life. And many of the medical students that I meet prior to entering medical residency begin to implement these three things as they start medical residency. And the three critical components in building a successful financial portfolio. And this is what I recommend to all physicians. The first thing is analyze and look to consolidate student loans and debt. The second is purchase a individual long-term disability insurance policy. And the third is invest money in a retirement plan. And by the way, I've never met a resident that could not afford to implement all of these during their training. It really comes down to whether or not the individual is serious about getting their financial situation in order.
Okay. Analyze and consolidate student loans, purchase an individual disability insurance policy, and invest money in a retirement plan. Sounds logical. That seems reasonable. So let's take the first one, analyze, consolidate student loans. Tell me more about that.
Okay, Christian. As I start as an analysis of the resident student loans, the most important thing I emphasize when looking at the money they borrowed is what are the terms of the money that they are borrowing? Is it a historically high interest rate, or is it a low interest rate as we compare it to other long-term investment opportunities? If it is a historically high interest rate, one might want to be more aggressive and pay down that debt sooner. If it's very low, then the opposite would be a sound financial strategy for most. Also, does it even make sense to consolidate? There are some physicians that have what they call subsidized loans, whereby no interest accrues on their loans during their medical training, and this is very advantageous. So in consolidation in this case may not make sense. Of course, it all depends on the interest rate and the amount of money borrowed as well. Usually, when someone consolidates their student loans, the interest begins to accrue. And currently, if you pay off interest rates on your student loans during medical training, there are tax incentives to deduct a certain portion of the student loan interest that they pay back. You'd want to consult with your CPA or a tax advisor to make sure you fall within the income limits to qualify for this tax deduction, and of course that it's still available.
Okay, that sounds great, and I'm sure many physicians want to start getting rid of debt. I mean, I know I would. So especially if you owe a lot of money, and that's just a big monkey to have on your back. So I've heard that some owe over $100,000 to $200,000 in loans. That's staggering to me, so maybe the G5 isn't really an option right now. But the next component is individual disability insurance policy. Now, why would we want that?
Well, there are many reasons to purchase what we call a non-cancelable and guaranteed renewable individual disability insurance policy with the own occupation benefit rider during medical residency. It is really this simple. An own occupation disability insurance policy will protect millions of dollars of future income that would permanently be lost if a resident or a doctor were to get injured or sick and could no longer perform the duties of their medical specialty. Now, you think about this, okay? A physician will postpone earning high income for as many as 12 years when you consider 4 years of college, 4 years of medical school, and 4 years of medical residency. And for some, it's even longer than that. On top of that, many have borrowed hundreds of thousands of dollars to advance their education in a highly specialized occupation. What else would they do if they could not be a physician? And what other profession could they earn an income to pay back all that debt that's borrowed?
Wow, those are great points. I would think every physician would purchase an individual disability insurance policy. With what... I'm sorry, I just got lost in my next question. With what the own... What the own occupation benefit? What occupation benefit would that be?
Yeah, well, the own occupation benefit basically protects a physician in their medical specialty. So an orthopedic surgeon, for example, if he or she could not perform surgical duties, hip replacements, knee repairs, hand surgeries, because of an injury or sickness, the insurance company would pay them a tax-free benefit, possibly several million dollars of future benefit, even if they were working in another occupation, and it could be even medicine in a different specialty.
And you get into greater specifics with that on your website, don't you?
Yeah. If you go to my website, disabilityforphysicians.com, or we have another disability insurance audio podcast, 10 Minutes with Tate, there's greater detail on this conversation.
Right, right. Okay, and then the last component of the three are investing money into a retirement plan. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's the third component that I suggest for all physicians in medical residency. And many of the hospitals that residents work at will have a plan that they are automatically enrolled in, so that's a great start. However, some hospitals do not offer residents retirement plans, and quite frankly, some residents want to save more money. In this case, a good starting point would be a Roth IRA, a traditional IRA account. One important thing to remember, though, when investing in these tax-deferred retirement plans, either at work or on their own, is the current tax laws do not allow them to access the money until age 59 and a half. So if they do withdraw money before age 59 and a half, there are federal penalties for early withdrawal, and income taxes may be due.
That's very informative. So in summary, for a medical resident, the three important components in building a financial portfolio are analyzing and consolidating student loan debt, purchasing an individual disability insurance plan, and investing money in a retirement plan.
Yes, Christian, and if you take a moment and think about the overall strategy, you're paying down some debt you borrowed and possibly get a tax deduction. You're protecting several million dollars of future income in the event of an unforeseen injury or sickness. And you're investing money in a retirement plan for your future. Actually, all of these components are really investments in yourself.
That's a great way of looking at it. So what are some of the other financial or insurance considerations during residency?
Well, if you're married, you certainly would want to look at life insurance. If you're married with children, it's an absolute necessary. In either case, given the limited income, I advise many of my resident physician clients to purchase a term life insurance policy to begin with. The most popular and affordable choices are typically a term life insurance policy with a 20 or 30 year guaranteed level premium.
Question, is life insurance offered by the hospitals typically to residents as part of their benefit package, or is that just something they don't get?
Yes, in many cases it is offered to them during what's called their open enrollment period, which usually takes place once a year at the hospital. However, the amount of coverage available to purchase is usually much less than what is needed by the physician to protect his or her family. If it is available, I recommend they choose the term life insurance option at work, which typically offers them 1 to 5 times protection of their salary. So if they make $45,000, $50,000 a year, they could protect anywhere from $50,000 to $250,000 in tax-free death benefit.
So then, I guess, given the limitations of coverage through their hospital employer, contact someone such as yourself to obtain additional coverage to protect them adequately?
Yeah, and they can learn more about life insurance by listening to my audio podcast on life insurance or visiting my website, lifeforphysicians.com.
You mentioned health insurance earlier. Anything a resident needs to investigate here?
Well, most hospitals will give the residents health insurance as part of their benefit package. There are, however, certain hospitals that allow the physician to opt out of their health insurance plan. And then the hospital will, in turn, deposit the money normally allocated for them for this health insurance plan into the physician's paycheck. So, for example, a married resident that has a spouse maybe that has a health insurance plan at his or her employer might go this route and get put on the spouse's health insurance plan instead and then collect the extra money in their paycheck. Sometimes in another situation, it makes sense for a healthy single person to obtain their own private health insurance policy because this can be much less expensive than what they would pay for out of their benefit plan at a hospital.
You know, that's really good sound advice, actually, for anybody listening to this podcast or anybody that talks to you on the phone. I can see the wealth of knowledge that you bring to the table, and it really seems like there are several ways that a physician can get started in strategizing their finances early on in their career from everything you've been discussing today.
Yes, there really are. There are many opportunities for the medical residents and fellows to get ahead. It's a personal choice for them as far as when they want to begin. My advice to the residents is to look when they have a light rotation in their schedule and contact me. And if they did this once a year, they would get themselves moving in the right direction. It's like when you and I go and get like an annual physical exam to get our health checked. I would just look at this as your annual financial physical exam.
Where can they find information or educate themselves more on the various insurance and investment products that you consult them on and provide?
Well, I would start at my main website, TateMoney.com. From there, there are websites with detailed information on each topic, life, disability, health insurance. On the investment side, I have InvestForPhysicians.com, where there's e-seminars, newsletters, articles, stock market data. And there's new information posted daily. So at TateMoney.com, it should be a favorite in your web browser.
Hey, we made it through the medical school and residency in less than 10 minutes, or right there at it, looks like. And now we're going to go into private practice or getting a full-time position at hospital as an attending. So what now?
Well, a big congratulations for sure. I've seen thousands of physicians graduate their medical training, and it's one of the greatest achievements to witness. Most people have no idea of the amount of hard work and dedication these special human beings go through.
I could not agree with you more. I can't even imagine 12 years just of your life, and then you got to wait to even make the big bucks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at this point, Christian, you know, physicians are looking at job contracts as they graduate medical residency and fellowship. They're doing board exams, they're buying a home, they're getting married, they're starting their own private practice, they're taking vacation for a few weeks. From a financial and insurance perspective, this is absolutely the most critical time in their lives. First, prior to leaving residency, I would make sure the resident have their credit report checked to see if there are any problems that need to be corrected. They're going to be looking to buy a home, as I said, possibly a new car, and they want to make sure their credit is good so they can qualify for these purchases with the best possible financing rates.
Quite a bit to take on in a short period of time.
Yeah, there is, and there's much, much more. Since their income is rising considerably, they'll need to increase their disability insurance coverage to protect their higher income. Second, they'll have to assess their health insurance, as the coverage that they had at the resident hospital will be ending. So they may even need to go on what's called COBRA health insurance coverage to maintain their existing health coverage that they had at the hospital. However, they should know that's a very expensive option. They may end up getting a new health plan at their new employer, or may just need to purchase an individual one. Next, they probably have a retirement plan from the residency, and they'll need to determine where that money gets transferred to. Possibly a new employer plan will have one, or they could just leave it where it is currently. And, lastly, if they had some group life insurance, that's probably ending as well. So the bottom line of it all is, when you graduate medical school and residency, during that time period is when it is the most appropriate time to do an annual financial review.
Well, that's a phenomenal amount of information. I encourage everybody to go back and re-listen to what we covered here today. Before I sign off, I just want to thank you again, Tate, for sharing all your wealth of knowledge with us.
Absolutely.
And for those of you listening, as I wrap up, Tate Christopher has been a financial advisor and insurance broker for over 15 years and has worked with thousands of physicians and strategically positioned their business and their personal finances. So Tate can be reached at Tate, T-A-T-E, at TateMoney.com, or you can call him at 800-318-6050. Again, 800-318-6050, or, of course, always at TateMoney.com. You can find all his contact information. So on behalf of myself, Christian Stefford, and Tate Christopher with Physicians Financial, thank you for joining us today with 10 Minutes with Tate. Have a great day, and we'll catch you on the next one.